Morning to each of y'all. I'd like to greet you in Christ's name. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I want to welcome our visitors too. Looks like there's several of y'all, so I think there's some sick from here and some traveling, so we're glad you're all here. I have what I feel like is a very basic message this morning, and I'm a fairly basic person, so I hope you can listen to some fairly basic preaching. I don't know exactly why God laid this on my heart, but he did, so I want to share it. I titled it God and Miracles Everywhere. Partially, obviously, this message probably comes from us having a new baby in our house. I'm not going to deny that. And I'll speak to some of that later. But God and miracles everywhere. So I don't know if any of y'all are like me and you've ever wondered, what if we're wrong? Did you ever think about that? What if we're wrong? What if we have the wool pulled over our eyes, so to speak, and the world's right? What if evolution is a thing and there is no God? Did you ever think about that? Maybe y'all never had those thoughts, but I have. What if when we die like an animal and there's no afterlife? So we live in the world that teaches this philosophy. They teach it, and a lot of them live their lives this way. And it's evolution so readily accepted. And it's just the way you explain everything. Man is his own master, and there's no moral code to follow. That would be kind of, if you're a atheist person, that would be a fun thing to believe, would it not? And it seems like more people get pulled into this vortex of believing this way, the more other people join them. They want to be in the in crowd. They want to believe this too. They want to fit in with the way the way everybody else thinks. And it helps sweep thoughts of death and God under the rug. You can put it out of your mind. There's no moral code to follow because it's just the Bible is just an old book wrote by people that got it all wrong. That's a dismal way to think, is it not? So I realize very clearly this morning I'm talking to a room full of Christians and a room full of believers. I don't know that we have any atheists or agnostic people sitting amongst us. And I doubt believing in Christ is too much of a struggle for any of us here. And honestly, when I've had these thoughts, I've not seriously struggled with this. I haven't. But the thoughts crossed my mind already. And the fact that I was raised in a Christian home made it much easier to overcome that thinking. And God help the poor people that were raised in atheist homes and have these thoughts. Because I can understand why it would be a hurdle to overcome that. It wouldn't be fun for the flesh to believe that. If you grew up your whole life thinking there is no God and come to realization that there is, it'd be easier just to keep living the no God lifestyle, right? So thank God I grew up in a Christian home and this actually wasn't that much of a struggle for me. It's very obvious the way that we grow up has a deep impact on the way we live the rest of our life. I know there's people that grow up and they change their worldviews. I know that happens. But having a base, a Christian base, I had to make, each of us, you and me, all had to make the decision to follow Christ. That's just the way it is. But having that base certainly made it easier. And so now today, here I am. I'm firmly convinced that there's a kind and a loving God in heaven. I don't have any doubt about that. And I believe it. I've experienced it. And it wasn't a hard conclusion to come to. And the more I look around, the more I'm in awe at everything that's in place and how you can see the touch of God everywhere, if we just stop to think about it. I don't really have a theme verse or verses as such today, but if I would, it would come out of Isaiah 45. There's two verses there. Isaiah 45:12 says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. And then down to verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. It just struck me. He says, he formed it to be inhabited. And there's a whole bunch of people that think we're overpopulating the place today. But God made this world to live in. He says it right there. You read those verses. This wasn't intended to be a creation message, and I don't think it necessarily is. But I can't help but read this and wonder how can it, that is easy for me to believe. God created the heaven and the earth. We can read it in Genesis and all throughout the Bible. It's not hard for me to believe that. Why would anybody want to believe anything different? And I will admit there are some things about a young earth belief that we can't explain. And I think some of it we need to accept that. We need to accept that there's some things that don't make sense believing God created it in 6 days. We can't explain how some stars are so far away that we can see their light, but in 6,000 years, their light still couldn't have reached us. There's things like that we can't quite explain. But there's a whole lot more about evolution that I don't understand how some people can believe that and accept it, but they do. So I want to talk about and think about a couple of miracles around. You know, we read through some of the stuff Jesus did in the New Testament. It is interesting to think about dead people coming to life, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. It's interesting about thinking about people that couldn't walk for years hopping up and walking. And water being turned to wine and all these amazing things. Those are all great stories, and I'm not diminishing them in any way. But sometimes we get so focused on the big stuff, we forget to remember the little miracles. And we wonder why, I hear some people say sometimes, and I've said it myself, why don't we see miracles today like we used, like they had in the old days, in Jesus' day? Why don't we see that? And sometimes we forget to see the little miracles, don't we? At least I do. It's so basic, y'all, but it's just something to think about. Does anybody know what this is right here, you children? Y'all know what that might be? Oop, I dropped it. Y'all see it? What is it? A rock? Well, not quite. It looks kind of like a rock. Any of you other children want to guess what it is? Did it run away? Where'd it go? There it is. What is that? You? A chocolate chip? You're hungry, ain't you? Maybe you can eat it after church. Anybody else? Is it hard to see? What is that?
Acorn?
An acorn. Or if you're a true Arkansan, you call it an ekern, right? That's an acorn. What can you do with an acorn? They're not very significant, are they? They lay around the yard, they hit my metal roof, they make a loud noise in the fall. One time as a child, I thought if squirrels like them, they're probably pretty good, and I split one open and I ate it. And it was a very bitter treat. The only thing I think that topped it was the time my brother-in-law tricked me into a green persimmon. And That was quite a bit more bitter. But it's a bitter little nut. Not good for much, right? The squirrels like them. But you know what's amazing is you can, if that gets planted by a human or a squirrel, probably not this one anymore, it's past its prime, you can leave it in the ground and in what, 30, 40 years? What do you have? You got a big oak tree that takes George and heavy equipment to get it out of the ground and haul it off. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? There was a man in the early 1600s. He had a very long name, four of them actually, Johann Baptist van Helmholtz. He was a chemist. And he did an experiment. I think he used a willow tree. It wasn't an oak, but he took a big pot. He filled it up with soil, and he carefully measured all the soil he put in this pot. And then he planted this willow tree in it. And he let it grow for 5 years, and at the end of 5 years, he pulled the tree out and shook all the dirt off, and he measured the dirt. And you children probably read this in school. I don't know. After I read the story or the article, I kind of remembered it. But the interesting thing is that tree took nothing out of the soil. It was almost the exact same weight amount of soil in that pot as what it was when he planted it. So how does a tree grow? And it basically, I guess it's water and sunshine is the conclusion he came to. Water and oxygen and sunshine. How can a hunk of wood grow out of that? And then we use it to put trim up and we use it for firewood. How? We can't explain it, can we? It's completely amazing. It must be the hand of an intelligent creator. Something else recently that intrigued me. How many of you children know what this is? Y'all know what this is? I bet you know what this is. What do you think that is? That's an egg, is it not? Just a plain old egg, right? What's so significant about an egg? I know some of y'all, and I have chickens too, but what's so great about, I used to not like chickens. Growing up on a chicken farm, I thought they were pretty horrible creatures. And it turns out Mom was right again. They're pretty interesting creatures. I used to think they stink and there's got to be a better way to make a living. And now I have chickens of my own. And you know what? So it's amazing. You can take an egg and what? You can have an omelet with it. Or you can wait several weeks and you can grill drumsticks for supper, right? How does that happen? So I took some of these here a while ago, and I handed them to one of my coworkers at work, and he took them home and put them in an incubator. And several weeks later, he brings back up a little box of chicks. Now, how does a fluffy, feathery bird come out of something that's yolky, a gooey yolk? How do you explain that? I can't. I can't explain that. Now, you could sit on that one for as long as you wanted to, and it wouldn't hatch because it's hard-boiled. I was scared I'd drop it in the freshly cleaned church building. But how can we explain that? How can we explain that? There must be a creator out there. And those of you that have seen little chickens, what do the ones that survive anyway, they dip their head in water, and what do? They all look straight up and let it run down their throat because they can't swallow very good. How do they know how to do that? It blows my mind, and I've had little chicks before, but they all do it. Scoop up the water and tip up their heads, and the process has been going on since the world was created. Isn't it amazing? The little miracles right before our eyes. And we see it every day, and we go right by it. And what about like these insects? I was looking at that grasshopper on Mr. Mike's wall, that picture. So that, it's a big picture, but in real life, a grasshopper is what, about that long? And look at their fragile little legs and their fragile little wings. How can they hold up? How can they hold an animal that big? And they bend and they fly. It's amazing. The predictability of God and the way he set up nature is amazing if we just stop to think about it. Read to you from Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51, 15 through 19. He made the earth by his power, and hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heaven, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and to make lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wood out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge, every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You know, we men like to think we're pretty shrewd humans, don't we? And there's some pretty amazing inventions out there. But we're such a far cry from being the inventor God is, we can't even begin to land on that scale. We wouldn't have a chance at being the inventors we are if God hadn't gave us the resources to build with or a mind to reason with. You know, men think they're so smart with their whole artificial intelligence thing, don't they? That whole robot world, and people are literally worried that a program computer is going to take over humans, and I just don't believe it. I know they're pretty, some of them are pretty real looking, and they talk and they sound fairly real, but there's just something computerized about it that you can tell it's not a human. It's not a human. They can kind of walk around, but they're clumsy. They can't move like me and you can. They can't reproduce like we humans do, and they're a machine. They're not even close to being a human. Men thought they're pretty smart when they came up with a space shuttle they could drive to the moon, did they not? 238,900 miles to the moon. It took them 4 days, 6 hours, and 45 minutes to get there. It didn't even take God that long to create it. Have you thought about that? And you got to wonder I don't know what God thinks in heaven, but did he look down and say, good job, y'all, you made it, but you didn't even scratch the surface of space? You know what I mean? The moon's not that far away compared to everything else. And we thought we really made it when we made it to the moon. There's way more out there than the moon. Somebody I love deeply one time that, did you know that when they went to the moon, they had to go when it was full moon so they had a bigger spot to land? And they thought about it for just a little bit, and then they said, no, they didn't. But the predictability of God, that he set everything in motion that you can gauge with, and you can do calculations on how to get there. And it would not be possible if it wouldn't work perfectly in order. It would not be possible. We're not that smart that we made it out there. So we like to, I talked about a few miracles already. And we still haven't talked about the crown creation of God's glory. You know, we don't really think of ourselves as miracles, do we? I don't really tend to think of myself as a miracle. I'm just a human, right? We're just people that we live and we breathe and we go to work. We try to worship God. We behold all the creation. And we forget sometimes that we're the crown of God's creation. It's an amazing thing. And you know what? It takes sometimes a little bit of a reset button in our lives to realize that. They say the death of a loved one or the birth of a loved one are the two tuning forks in life. And you know what? We need those two tuning forks in our lives. It helps us reset and realize who we actually are. David asks in Psalms, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And I'll tell you something you already know, is that man is the apple of God's eye. Sinful, stumbling, selfish, proud, lazy, mess it up all the time men are the apple of God's eye. Why? God had all of creation and he picked us. How does that make you feel? It makes me feel pretty small, to tell you the truth. God is still up there looking down at us with love in his heart, hoping we'll make the choice to lay all our earthly weights aside, surrender our life to him, and let him make us into something beautiful. That's God. That's God. Matthew Henry had a thought. He said, animals were made to look straight out, look around. They can look up, sure. But how often do you go out in the pasture after dark and you see a cow gazing up at the stars in wonder? They don't do it, do they? They don't care. They don't know. They're a cow. But how often do you humans, us as humans, not stare and wonder at the sky after dark? And you wonder, what's up there? What's up there? We humans sure do. We've stared into space ever since we were created. And the minute I, as a human, fail to be in awe of God and space, I automatically start down a slippery slide that goes nowhere good. Have you ever noticed that? If I don't realize deep down inside who I am before God, the creator of the universe, and I start looking around at my own accomplishments and what I can do, it's a slippery slide to nowhere good. And then we have, as y'all all know, a little baby in our house. How about that? Little babies. I don't know why they have a way of touching a person so much, but they do, don't they? Most men are like, wow, a baby. And all the women are like, wow, a baby. You know what I mean? Us men are all hoping they grow out of their little red one-day-old bodies pretty quick, because, I don't know, little babies are awesome, but I want them to get past the one-day stage pretty quick. They're pretty fragile. But they're beautiful. How is it possible that God can take a male and a female and almost out of nothing create a baby? Isn't it amazing? And I'm glad for the education man has on this. I'm glad for doctors that help. I'm glad for the knowledge they have. I'm glad for all of that. It's amazing some of the surgeries they can do nowadays on babies that are still in a womb. All that's great. But the more they find out, the more they realize they don't know. And I don't think they'll never fully comprehend the human body. It's a puzzle that will never be completely solved or understood. And I think God lets us discover things as we go along in this life just to show us that you're never going to figure it all out. Just believe me, I made you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Believe it. Look at yourself as a miracle. To think that at 10 weeks after conception we had fingernails, and 18 days our heart started beating after conception, the heart's pumping its own blood at 18 days? Really? How? Here a while ago, me and the boys took a load of trash into the scrapyard, and they were watching in awe at that excavator that has the grabber thing that throws cars and whatnot off of trailers. And you know, that thing's pretty amazing. One man alone couldn't, without the help of that machine, throw a car off a trailer like it does. But as amazing as that machine is, and as agile as it looked, that thing has nowhere close to the amount of mobility that me or even any of my little boys have with our arm. It can't reach back behind its back and scratch. I mean, it can move back there, but it has to do it all methodically and straight. And it can't turn its... It can turn on the end of its boom, but it can't do that and then twist its fingers around. There's no way. You think about all the movement that happens just in your arm by putting it behind your back. And your fingers can twist. There's no way man can come up with that. And everything's ran off of diesel or electric. And look at us. We ain't hooked up to the power grid, are we? We're not running off of solar power. How do we do that? St. Augustine, thousands of years ago, wrote this. People travel to wonder at the height of mountains, at the huge waves of the sea, and at the long courses of the river, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and yet they pass themselves by without a second thought. Do you ever think about that? We don't even think about ourselves, do we? The instinct that God put into us, my wife's forwarded that message or that WhatsApp clip that Sim Yoder had recommended of that doctor that gave that talk in Pennsylvania or whatever. The instinct that is in parents. How did the fact that a mother will stroke its baby's face and that helps your brain development? How? The fact that he mentioned fathers like to take their children and turn them upside down and hold them upside down and roll them over on the floor and how that helps brain development. Nobody told us dads that it's good to get down and push our roller boys across the floor, did they? I don't know, it's just kind of a dad thing to do. I've never seen a mom turn their baby upside down, but maybe y'all do sometimes. Who knew that that was good for your brain? And so we look at the babies that are born and we look at the miracle that they are. But I just want to tell y'all this morning, don't forget, you're that baby, you were that baby once too, and you're still as big of a miracle today, every one of you, as you were the day you were born. We get old and we get scars and we get tired and we tend just to think of ourselves as another human. But we're all miracles. We're all miracles. And we shouldn't think about that in an arrogant way. But just stand in awe that God created us the way that he did. First Corinthians 6:19 says, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, ye are not your own." It's talking about the Holy Ghost living in us after we accept Christ. And you know, it makes sense. Why would the Holy Ghost live anywhere else other than God's crown of his creation? It's not going to live in a cow or a tree. He picked man. And we as a mankind have a responsibility and an obligation to an all-knowing and holy creator called God. We have a responsibility to live our lives for him. Because someday I and you are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for it, how we lived our lives, how we treated the temple of God on this earth. I believe that to be 100% true. God doesn't make any knee on earth bow to him that doesn't want to. But someday every knee will bow before God, the Bible says. Every knee. It doesn't matter if you were a president, who? It doesn't matter. Every knee is going to bow before God. And woe to the one that doesn't bow it on this earth before the end of time. Because someday they will, and they're going to really wish they had done it on earth before it was too late. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the Bible says. Just a couple thoughts in closing here. God is real, and so is the devil. It sometimes seems like the people that don't profess to follow God, the ones I talked about at the beginning of the message, they seem sometimes like they kind of get a break on life. Their life seems to go easier sometimes than our Christian's life, don't it? Do you ever think about it that maybe that's because the devil knows he already has them for all of eternity, and so he's working on the ones that he knows are trying to live a life for Christ? So I take that as an encouragement that if God gives you days like Peanut talked about on Thursday, that maybe it's because the devil knows you're in the Lord's kingdom and he's trying to get you out of it. So take it as an encouragement that you're living a Christian life that the devil doesn't like. Let the little things in life amaze you. Look at others and yourself and realize that we're all miracles that are blessed to be here. Live your life to the fullest, meaning do everything to the glory of God, love the things of God, and someday if we're faithful, we're going to meet this God face to face. Someday if we're faithful. We will meet him, whether we're faithful or not, but it's much better to live faithfully on the earth now than find out at judgment day that you were wrong and there actually is a God. The people at the beginning I spoke of, I feel so sorry for some of those people that they have no desire for God in their life. And they live their life as if there is no God. And I think about this sometimes. So going back to that question I brought up at the beginning, what if we're wrong? And there is no God. You know what? The Christian life's still a good way to live a life, right? But now suppose we're right, and I'm sure that we are. Now what are those people going to do? I'd rather chance it living a life for God to the best of my abilities. I'd rather take that chance than take the chance that there is no God. Does that make sense? Maybe that's a wrong way to look at it. But I am not willing to take that chance. That song, How Can I Keep From Singing Your Name? How can we keep from singing the name of God when we see all these miracles? And then that song that Sim had us singing when he was here, My Soul Cries Out. That song still speaks to me. We serve an amazing God, people. And let's not forget to look at the little miracles. Let's not forget that you're a miracle. Everybody around you is a miracle. And God's deepest desire is to someday have us at home with him in heaven. That's all I have for a message. Let's kneel for prayer.